Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Melinda, who is with us this afternoon to tell us about her birthday walkabout fundraiser. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you, Jen. It's fun to be here.
So do tell. What was it all about?
Well, when we started out the Deepening Practice Action Plan year, we also were looking at the 300 for 1,000 club, and if I've got the chronology on that wrong, forgive me.
So far, so good.
So I went ahead and joined the club thinking, oh, God, at least I have a year to figure out how to raise $1,000.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was three ideas occurred to me. One was to make bamboo flutes, which is an idea that is still nascent. Not much has happened with that. I can't remember the second idea, but the third that sort of dropped in was, why don't I do a 72-mile walk for my 72nd birthday? And it was inspired by both Sherry, who did a, when she turned 60, she did a bench press her own weight, which was pretty remarkable.
Incredibly impressive,
Yes, very impressive. And Nikki, who did 62-mile bicycle ride on her 62nd birthday.
Yes.
So that idea of using the birthday for, you know, setting up some potentially achievable goal.
Achievable, and I mean, maybe you're going to get into this more, but an eye project, and something that really supports the body and the well-being of the whole system.
Yes, and
all of those
practice. Yeah, and that it's such a, it just felt like such a win-win-win to take on something. And I really wasn't sure, because there was some conditioning muttering around in the background that you got to be crazy.
Well, that's the fun thing about it is it's doable, but it's a stretch. So it's not like, oh, I think I'll, you know, walk 3 miles or whatever it is. It's a stretch. I mean, that was a huge undertaking.
Yes, and especially for someone who thought walking a mile was a really big deal, which I did at the time.
Wow, that makes it all the more inspiring.
Yes, a mile, it was really hard to put together that it might be possible to plan a walk of 72 miles when even short distances seemed kind of out of reach. So I just, though, did one foot after the other, very literally. I, at the time, was also moving to Sacramento, where it's very flat. It's very flat. So I thought, well, you know, training will be really easy because it's really flat. And started out just doing a mile, and in a very short while, a mile was easy. And then not so long after that, 3 miles was easy.
Wow.
And not so long after that, 6 miles was not, you know, it was actually fairly easy. And it was so interesting to watch how perspective changed with accomplishment.
Say more about that.
That after I'd done 3 miles a bunch of times, 4 miles wasn't really that big a stretch, and sort of so on up to about, well, 10 miles now in one day feels like a stretch. But just that something from the unexperienced side seemed super challenging, and then from the side on the other side of experience, it seemed like, in a way, not enough. Kind of like getting a worthy opponent, as we sometimes talk about it.
Yes, and you know, it's just so, it's so great on all levels, but it's such practice. Because what I hear and what you're saying is that you're building trust. That so the voices at you know, the voices had basically domain over that area. Oh, you can't even walk a mile, da, da, da.
Right.
But then it, with this incredible willingness, you sort of go in with the spirit of inquiry, well let's see. Let's just see.
Yes.
And you take it really, it sounds like, in very doable steps. Like you started with a mile. And once you could really do a mile, then you went to two. And once you could really do two, then three. And it's like building a trust in your experience over the voices.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun,
yeah.
Which is really, you know, I don't know that I knew it was going to be fun.
You were willing, but you didn't know it would be fun.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was going to be like, and I didn't really pay much attention to voices that wanted to tell me what it was going to be like.
Oh, great.
Because if I had done that, I probably would have been sunk.
I was going to say, another big key to success.
Yes.
Willingness to not listen to what the voices were predicting it would be like.
And to not, how do I say it? It's like, to find out. So spirit of inquiry is probably a really appropriate way to talk about how I went about the training, because I really didn't know.
Uh-huh.
For all I knew, I was going to find out that I could only walk 4 miles without getting totally exhausted, and that meant the entire 72-mile walk would take however many days that is, 40 days or something. But I didn't know, and
yeah.
I didn't actually know until I did the walk how long it was going to take.
Wow.
I had an idea of how many miles I could do every day. But I also started out on the walk itself thinking that I would walk a couple of days and then rest a day.
Uh-huh.
I started out, I walked a couple of days, rested a day, and then after that I found I didn't need to rest. So that little program had been slipped in there, but just, again, finding out by going ahead and doing it was really, you know, it's the experience.
And that, checking in. Do a,
yes.
Okay, so there's the option of having a day off. Do I need that? And finding out, no, I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what I hear also is no investment or judgment in either way. If I need a day,
no.
I need a day, but if I don't, I don't. And so really being able to just see what is so and going with that.
Yeah, and there were a few days, so I'm mapped out, I don't know if everybody knows, just in case people don't.
Yeah, please.
When you do a map quest, it offers you three options for doping out a route.
Uh-huh.
One is by car, one is by bicycle, and one is by, no, one's by car, one's by public transport, and one's by foot.
Uh-huh.
So when I map quested from my home to the monastery, which is where I wound up deciding to, you know, have my walk,
uh-huh.
It gave me back roads.
Uh-huh.
It gave me like a gravel road. It got me as much as possible off of highways. And that was definitely a boon, because when I did have to be on highways, I really appreciated the days I didn't.
Yeah,
especially highways without shoulders, which are particularly challenging.
Yeah.
And another wonderful discovery was an app, a free app called Map My Fitness.
Uh-huh.
And it both tracks how many miles you walk and saves that, but it makes a little map of where you've walked and saves that.
That's great.
And if you want, it tracks how many calories you've burned, how much weight you've maybe lost, how much, you know, and so I didn't use all those extras, but just having how many, so I didn't have to keep track of the distance.
Yeah.
Because it was keeping track of that for me. And it was an extra little toy to have along the way.
So fun. And Melinda, I cannot believe it, but we're getting close to 5:00. So I wondered if there were any highlights, either, you know, along the walk in particular, or just the journey of doing all of it, or anything that you wanted to highlight in particular.
Well, when you say that, I realize I could probably go on and on and on and on about it. I haven't talked about it a lot. So here I, you know, open a little dam here.
Well, and but, I feel that I have a billion questions.
Yeah, it's just, I would recommend it for anybody, especially if you get the information you can't do it.
Uh-huh.
What happened, one of the biggest things for me from the training until I actually finished the walk was that the lower half of my body really got in shape.
Uh-huh.
And up till then, I thought, well, I was just getting flabby because I'm 72 years old, and 72-year-olds get flabby.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out it doesn't have to be that way.
Uh-huh.
And, so I feel really good about how my body transformed.
Yeah.
And that's motivation to keep on. I took a 4-mile walk today and a 3-mile walk
good.
The other day, and
it's created
a
momentum.
Just really an inspiration. And
uh-huh.
also, I could go on forever about all the people who joined in on one day or another, and how, you know, there's that song, "You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings,"
uh-huh.
and I realized that was such a wonderful description of what it's like to have people walking with you, because they're, you know, they're into the same cause, they're
yeah.
doing the practice, they're wanting to take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, and it strikes me as a the more you give, the more you get kind of a thing, where you had the willingness, first of all, to jump in and say, okay, I'm going to be part of 300 for 1,000. I don't have any idea how that's going to happen,
right.
but I'm willing for it. And then life offers you this idea. The voices say,
yes.
Break, forget it. You continue. I'm willing. Jump in.
Yeah.
And then you start talking about it, and you put it out there, and so people know about it. Thus, the support comes. And not only did you, I think you walked more than 72 miles.
I did. That's right.
Blew through your financial goal as well.
Yeah, it's raised just about $1,200.
So far.
So far, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anybody who's listening, you'd like to send some more. It all benefits the monastery. So
very
it couldn't
good.
Be
well,
a...
Melinda, thank you so much for being with us and for your inspiring story.
Oh, thank you, Jen. It's been my pleasure.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. And Michael will pass it to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Melinda. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Zuber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. That was fun.
That was fun.
You know, the thing that Melinda said that I particularly liked, I liked a lot of that, all of it actually, but to do the thing that the voices say you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, if we could get that, that's the thing that we're told we can't do, you know, because we're inadequate, basically, because there's something
yeah.
wrong with us. Or I don't want to. You know, if we could get that only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate talks in terms of I don't feel like it, I don't want to, it's too hard, you can't do that, that we're not, you know, we're not dealing with center there. We're dealing with the voices that are devoted to ruining our lives. And to as Jen and Melinda said, you know, okay, I'd like to do something, I'd like to participate, and then life drops in the idea, and then right behind it is, oh no. and using that oh no as a, okay, well then clearly that's a really good thing for me to pursue, because I want to go beyond those voices. I want to do this because it's hard. Because
yeah.
when I do hard things, I get stronger. And when
yeah.
I don't do hard things, I get weaker. And as Melinda pointed out, I get flabby. And flabby is not a result of anything other than listening to voices.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm.
And I learned this week that life begins at the edge of my comfort zone.
Wasn't that a good piece quote?
Yes.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yes.
I quoted that a few times this week myself.
Yes. Yes, that's right on. Just what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if I want to know, if I want to know something about what my life really is, which we would usually frame as what's possible for me, but it's not what's possible for me. It's what my life really is. When I stop allowing the voices to make the choices for me, then yes, that's a really good place to look. All right, where's the edge of that comfort zone? And we can do that with everything. Once we get the hang of it, once we realize that it's actually fun and exciting, then you know there are things we can do all day long that are just right on the other side of that comfort zone. Comfort zone is a synonym for unconscious.
Yes. 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 And your talking reminds me of another peace quote that came out this week, that fear is excitement without the breath.
I know. Wasn't that another good one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fritz Perls. You know those old guys. They had a lot going for them. They did. He's one of the great grandfathers of everything that we now do.
Uh huh.
There's a lot of wisdom there.
Yes. 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 Definitely. I have a few announcements here.
All right.
There's a workshop coming up in Palo Alto, California, on December 8th. It's entitled "The Gift of Your Presence." The day of
now that has a holiday feel to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it does. So it will include inspiring exercises, guided imageries designed to remind us of what we want for ourselves and for our lives. There's also
a particularly good time for that reminder about right around the time that this whole country, and I suspect much of the world, goes completely insane.
Yes, and there's even more support for that, which comes from the at-home practice opportunities. There's an at-home retreat on December 1st, a day filled with practice featuring groups via conference call and focused exercises. It's a great way to experience practice and sangha right from your home. Also, Guidance Day for Monthly Donors is on December 15th. You can look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner via phone or Skype.
We are not alone.
No, thank goodness.
Because there isn't any alone, is there?
No, there's not.
There really isn't. Either we're not alone because we're feeling the oneness with all that is, or we're not alone because we've been isolated, cut off from the herd by karmic conditioning.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's a good point. And finally, there are still a few openings in the New Year's retreat with you, Sherry. That's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park. A unique opportunity for guidance with you, Sherry, and to be in community with Sangha as we bring in the New Year together.
And a little reminder to people that there isn't as much time to sign up as people usually think, because
uh-huh.
We have to know a month ahead. We have to be able to give the retreat center a number a month ahead. So I just don't want people to wait until the last minute and then be disappointed.
Yes, yes, good reminder. To visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's get started.
Right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
Good, 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 good. Excited, happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in love with recording and listening, and I make no secret of it. And and when I listen to my recordings, I think they all give a report on, you know, I'm so happy, and I feel really grateful and excited. This could be a boring story, except it's really good news.
Well, I was calling to talk about recording and listening.
Good.
I really took to heart the guidance that you gave back on the October 16th show.
Which you saved for us, I understand.
Yeah, well, and that was what prompted me. So very often I have an hour or an hour and a half drive to do some appointments, and I always make sure I have the latest open airs and group recordings on my MP3 player so I can be equipped while I'm driving in the car.
Yes.
And when I actually heard that show that night live over my computer, and I said, I have got to listen to that again tomorrow. So the first thing in the morning, next morning, before I even brushed my teeth, I got the show downloaded onto my MP3 player so I could have it in the car with me that day.
We were lucky you did.
Well, I knew it was important to me to hear again that, and so in my recorder, I have a couple, we have five different tracks or whatever. And so kind of how I had been doing it, I have one track that's just kind of reporting throughout the day, somebody to talk to about what's going on, what I notice, what I'm feeling. I just kind of do sort of a, stream of consciousness kind of thing.
You're just chatting with a good friend.
Yeah, yeah. And then my second track is these songs, which I mentioned at Precepts, that have come out over the course of the year. Someone said it's like the mentor singing to me, but really it's a lot of encouragement and reinforcement, but it was also just like recently I sang one to myself called Life is Good, and I just repeat that over and over again. But as I was doing it, like a little mantra, but, a tune arises in me, I get into that feeling of life is good. I kind of started out feeling like, well, it's beautiful, life is good, and then I just sang that for 10 minutes. But I love listening to him, and the thing about that particular track is, songs stay in your head. So
right.
I'll be going along doing whatever, and a little one of my little tunes will show up.
Nice. Nice.
And then, so what I did with the guidance that you gave on that show was to make a separate track, and I actually started out trying to record some things for myself the night before, so I would listen to them before I got out of bed.
Uh-huh. And can you give us just generally an idea about what some of those kinds of things might be for people who are looking for tips?
Well, as you know, I've been talking about my health issues over the years. So one of the things I did was if I had something coming up in a couple of days, so I gave myself some support for, you want to be kind to yourself. You've got a big day coming up. So for the next couple of days, you're going to do a lot of resting and relaxing, and we're not going to give in to, some pressure to get things done, because resting and relaxing is the most important thing. A couple other things have been just taking some of the sort of key phrases that have come up, like we're trying to change our behavior here, so just remember throughout the day that, your intention is to look at your behavior and see what's happening and notice what's going on. So, really,
Greta,
just taking guidance throughout practice.
The thing that I think is so key about what you're saying for all of us is that from the time we're little kids, we go into resistance about authority. So people are trying to tell us what to eat and when to go to bed and what to put on and what to do and what not to do. And for many of us, I project, we lose sight of the fact that these people, bottom line, have our best interest at heart. Because it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they have an agenda and they want us to do what they want us to do, and it doesn't really matter too much how we feel or what's important to us. And in my experience, anyway, that tends not to leave folks. Okay, there's just even you go to a counselor, say, and you pay money, and the person says something, and what's said is met with, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if that's gonna. Or you get a coach, and the coach says, okay, so now what you've said you want to do is da 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 da. So how about if we? And by the time the agreements start getting written down, it's like, well, I'm not sure I want to do that really. And the way you were phrasing that encouragement was like what it made me think of was, I want to win a gold medal in the Olympics. It's always my favorite example, and I have found the best coach in the world, and I know that coach is as invested in my winning as I am. I mean, we're both going to put everything we've got into success. And so that resistance isn't there because it's so what I want to do. And I know it's so what the coach wants to do. And what you were saying had that feel. You know, there's no room for karmic conditioning to come in and say, well, you know, I don't know that I want to rest. I mean, if it does, it's really obvious what it is. You know what
well,
I mean?
Yes, I do, exactly. And I think what that particular show did for me was clarify a gradual change that I have noticed with recording and listening. In particular, the conversation you had with Rebecca about who's listening,
uh-huh.
Where, you know, she gave a very clear example of what you just described of, well, I'm not sure I really go along with that resting business. Well, exactly. So who's listening to this encouragement? Who's listening to this? And I can feel the difference in myself that there's many times when I know conditioning is listening and rejecting these recordings.
Uh-huh.
But in particular, I feel like I said, you clarified a shift that I've noticed in myself because somebody desperately just been waiting for this very kind of support.
Yes.
I can feel it, you know, I can almost cry now. I mean, there's somebody who's so happy to have a companion who is there supporting these things that are helpful and not giving the nya-nya-nya-nya view of the world, which is just there's something wrong with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, it's just, I hope everybody is really hearing that and taking it in, that is what we've all been desperate for all of our lives, is that person who loves us unconditionally and is on our side and knows what we're capable of and what we need to do and how we need to be in order to accomplish what we truly want to accomplish. So none of this, it's okay, we know you're inadequate, or the buck up, you can do it. You don't need to rest. Come on, you don't need to rest. You need to really, that wise, compassionate, kind perspective that just...
For me, it's like there's somebody that's there with me all the time, no matter what. It's this unconditional place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what it is or what I'm doing or what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not climbing Mount Everest. I'm just trying to be present, you know,
yes,
as much as possible and not cause any more harm to the being.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I can't remember if it was, I don't know where we were talking about this, probably this morning, but the whole notion that it doesn't matter what you're talking about. I mean, there is somebody with you all the time who loves you unconditionally and wants the best for you. doesn't matter what the conversation is. There doesn't need to be a conversation, but the power of the conversation is that it closes out that other conversation that has always been there and is not helpful. So it really is good to have the conversation going in that place of unconditional love and acceptance, but it doesn't matter what it is. The content, the topic, is completely irrelevant.
Well, and what I've done with my recorder is, you know, I sense when I'm being taken over by conditioning, when something's going on, I'm reacting to an external person, I'm having, you know, I'm struggling with my projections, and I can just grab the recorder and get it out of my system, get it out of my head, and as I'm listening to these recordings over time, I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds, so I'm not listening to them from the beginning of the time that I've recorded, but say over 1 month, I can really see what's been going on with me with an issue, and more awareness arises as I keep seeing what's happening, and it just, it really serves me to, as has been brought up to me as a kind of a koan in a way, is to begin to identify with awareness and not with those various subpersonalities or conditioned beliefs and assumptions. But to take, using that recorder is such a strong visual or physical symbol of identifying with awareness and stepping back from all of what's going on.
Yes, exactly. And that's why it doesn't matter what the content is, because it's happening within awareness.
Yes.
So whether we're, you know, talking about how you need to rest, or we're talking about food, or we're talking about how we're going to get that thing done that actually does need to get done that you don't actually feel like doing, it doesn't matter. Or we're just sitting on the porch looking at the leaves blowing in the breeze, and it just doesn't matter. When you're there with unconditional love, that's all that matters.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah,
so,
and unconditional love is a great synonym for awareness.
Right, right. Yeah, I was just listening to an old open air this morning, this afternoon on my way home, and I listened to it a couple times, and then I took what I was getting out of that show and put it, I just repeated it into my recorder as I was listening to it. But the thing that struck me about it, which I feel is what's happening, is you were talking to the caller about meeting karma with unconditional love and acceptance. And, I mean, I know we say so much that we can embrace everything in unconditional love and acceptance. There's room for everything. But that particular phrase really got to me as, you know, and so I put it there on my recorder so I can be reminded of it and go back and say, well, you know, how is that for me? What's going on? And then I just can see what happens next, see what comes up.
Yeah, and the other thing that, just to underline from what you're saying, is that what you're describing is moving in life from a place of being pretty much, you know, assuming you're a regular conditioned person like the rest of us, pretty much 100% in the world of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate, to setting up your life so that you are increasingly, the percentage points are just going up and up and up, for the amount of time that you are spending practicing awareness. Because that's, I mean, listening to the archives of that show, making that recording, applying it, seeing, letting those insights drop in, you know, it's like living in a group discussion at the monastery, you know, or living in guidance or that kind of thing. Rather than, well, I sat this morning and then I went unconscious for the next 16 hours. And then it occurred to me that, you know, maybe I should meditate again before I go to bed, but I really don't feel like it. I'm too tired. Versus even, you know, you turn off the recordings in order to meditate, in order to sit down and sit in silence. It's just a completely different orientation to life.
Yes, it is, and I'm really grateful to have it because it's made this difficult time that I'm going through. Actually, I said to myself the other day, I feel great about what I'm seeing and how I'm seeing it in practice, even though physically, you know, I'm about the same. I'm not getting any better, but I'm not, you know, I'm not suffering in it.
Yeah.
And there are times I am suffering in it, but having this practice, all of it, not just recording and listening, but in particular, having that recorder with me is, you know, it just is, it's like a lifeline. And as you say, it's just being able to immerse myself in practice. I don't consider it separate from myself at all. It's just like part of how I'm living my life.
Yeah.
I have this little electronic appendage.
This little electronic best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
I'm very grateful.
Yeah, that's all those good things. It's inspiring and insightful and helpful, and I really appreciate it because it remains true that a lot of folks, even folks in the practice, even folks who would be listening into this radio show, aren't allowed to practice in the way you're describing because the voices just stop them. And so every little bit of encouragement that we can offer that, yeah, in fact, if you get past those voices and actually do it, it will change your life.
Yep, and I think the recorder is the best tool to get past those voices because
yep, absolutely.
They don't have anything to say to hold a candle to what the mentor can offer or
right.
just,
yeah.
You know, and that's another thing for a lot of, I do have a bunch of resistance that says the mentor must say, you know, words of wisdom like the Great Oz.
Right.
And it's not like that at all.
No.
It's really about the relationship.
That's right.
It doesn't matter that there's no like pearls of wisdom dropping from the sky or whatever. It's just something drops in or something just feels like I'm being cared for.
Yes, and you know, that's the greatest wisdom there is, right? So it's wonderful when inspiring lines drop in and I think, oh, that's beautiful, that's fabulous, yes. But those are only there to take me to the place where I no longer need them because I'm now able to be in that place from which those pearls are dropping.
Well, deep gusto, Sherry
and
Michael.
You.
Thank you.
And to you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
What is it, soul and heart? What does you lie? How want you look? What would sing if you gave voice to your tune?
This great song by Trish Ruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porchdog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porchdog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porchdog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porchdog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially things we don't like. www.porchdogsoft.com. Look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi.
What's going on?
That was beautiful.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I could just say all of it exactly.
Oh, it was just amen.
I'm in love with recording and listening, too.
Mm.
Yeah, and last week I had a phone mishap, and I was in the queue early, and I somehow knocked myself off, so I didn't get to weigh in on what I wanted to say about it.
Uh-huh. So
I'm
here
calling
you are.
Today. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'm just so happy about the conversation that started on October 16th, and I was one looking it up, saying, when is it going to be there? When is it going to be there so I can listen to it? And then I did. And then, and I just loved the way Greta put it about clarifying what was going on, because that's sort of like, it just sort of clarified what had been going on in my recording and listening practice.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that occurred to me was that, so the person we're talking to as we record is the one who's practicing. And also to flip that is the one who's practicing is talking to the mentor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when I'm recording, there's times I grab that recorder when I can feel that, you know, knot or that little angst that's going on with conditioning. I don't know exactly what it is. And I pick it up and I ask, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear what's going on. I just start talking about it and I end up in the place where this is what, you know, I work myself into hearing about what's going on.
Yeah, so if
yeah.
You really are a variety of people, right? So
yeah.
You're going around and you sense that there's something. So you might do that with someone else, right? You might sense
mm-hmm.
there's something going on. Or somebody might do that with you and say, gosh, what's going on? And so in this case, you're playing all those roles. So you pick up your recorder and you kind of ask that question energetically, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start talking.
Right.
And as you talk about it, you get a little clearer about
yeah.
what's going on. And maybe at that point, you switch into being somebody else. And now you're hearing encouragement or maybe
mm-hmm.
Ask a significant question or like that, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I could switch into being the mentor, the one who's practicing, or the one who's suffering or and brings the conditioning up so that I can actually bring awareness to it.
Yeah, so there's
yeah.
the person suffering over something, and maybe she's identified it with,
mm-hmm.
in some suffering place. So she gets a chance to talk about it and receives acceptance, right, which is huge
yeah.
for most of us.
Exactly.
She just
yeah.
gets to feel how she feels and be who she is and somebody's mm-hmm. listening and understanding. Then the wisdom is kind of there. And then at that point, perhaps the person comes in who would, in effect, say, okay, well, I want to take that on.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd like to work with that and look at that, because whatever
yep.
it is that she's struggling with is a process. It's probably there are behaviors that go with it, and then it's going to take somebody who actually wants to work through that particular karma and free that person.
Yes, exactly. All of that is exactly what happens, and it brings me back to my heart in picking up that recorder and just starting to talk about it.
Yes, because you've done it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
when people are first starting out, it's like, oh my God, what are you people talking about? You know, who are all these people and how do you tell and what if it's this and what if it's that? But after you've done it long enough, first of all, you have a pretty good sense of who the various people are and you know that it works
yes.
in the sense that you're going to move to a different place when this is, when you finished going through this process. You can trust
and
it.
Exactly. And what happens, like, sometimes I'll be sort of in a, I'll be suffering, and as I've practiced, I've learned to recognize when I'm suffering more quickly, and I'm suffering, and I'm starting to say, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I'll remember the recorder, you know? And so there's still sometimes that little time period where I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do at that point, and there's a little bit of suffering going on, and I'm and I look for that recorder, and then I pick it up and do that. And it's like I'm learning how to rely on the internal mentor or the wisdom that's always been there. I'm relearning how to rely on myself.
Yes.
Myself being the big self. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The meta self.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because that's really can be confusing for people. They'll say, well, you know, I'm really learning to look to the wisdom inside me. And part of me goes, you know, that's a dangerous process.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure we've got some good clarity about who's who, because those karmically conditioned voices are mighty good at mimicking.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so they can give us some pretty bad advice. There was another piece. Oh, the other piece of that that I wanted to say, because you've been practicing for a long time. And sometimes, you know, there are people who are new to practice, and they'll hear somebody who's been practicing for a long time say something like, and, you know, I'm suffering. And they think that the voices will quickly conclude, well, what is the sense of doing this?
Mm.
If people who have been doing it for a long time still suffer.
Mm.
And so the point I wish to make at this juncture is that the process of going through deeper and deeper layers of karmic conditioning continues, right?
Yeah. So,
so it's not like we hit cloud bliss and that's the end of it. We still get to face the next whatever it is, the next karmic pull, and we'll work through it in exactly the same way we've worked through all the ones before. The difference is, we know what's going on. We know what to rely on. We know how to do what we need to do, and we know it's going to work.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier about getting out of your comfort zone. So now I'm actually, it makes me stronger to suffer.
Yes, not in a masochistic way.
No.
But in that way that, so if we...
To work through it, too.
Yeah,
to figure out, okay, this doesn't have control of me anymore. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be free of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's more of a challenge than anything else.
And things cycle around. So, you know, something has cycled around in the past, and I wasn't ready to do that at that point, and now it's cycling around again, and I'm ready to do that.
Right, to take it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say, because you said that, the suffering is sometimes harder, but overall, my life is incredibly wonderful, and I'm incredibly happy, and a lot of times on the recorder, I'm just recording, I can't believe all of this is happening to me.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Why me, God? Why me?
Yeah.
Well, how did I get so fortunate?
Exactly.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right, there's a lot of thank yous on my recorder. Yeah.
So that's a really good point. It's like we are, if we were climbing a mountain, we climb, and then we hit a plateau, and or it's kind of like following a switchback. So there are places that are a little more arduous than others, but generally speaking, we're moving right along and enjoying ourselves more, because we're getting stronger and more fit and more capable and confident and all of those kinds of things. So, and
yes.
The views get better.
The views get better, and it just becomes more fun. Just everything's more fun, a lot more fun.
Yeah, it really is. Well, thank you, Renee.
Well, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Year of Deepening Practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the services section. These services are offered with a living training to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Emily.
This is Emily?
Emily.
Let's try again.
Oh, dear. Let me move up here.
You're sounding better all the time.
How's that? Is that working out here?
Yeah, that's good. Who is this?
Okay. This is Emily, in San Francisco.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. What's going on?
Well, this is my first time calling.
Well, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. Let's see, I've been, so much on this call is amazing. So when I was waiting, initially when I was waiting, there was a whole conversation about what am I going to talk about, and it was, you know, going back and forth between two things, and then suddenly this thought dropped in there, which content, this or that, and then the thought dropped in. Well, it's exactly the same process in both of these things.
Oh,
and there are things
that helpful.
It was, and there are things that I didn't really feel like they have anything to do with each other. These two, you know, one is relationship, one is what am I going to do kind of with my life, basically, for a career.
Mm-hmm. And so you saw that it's the same process, but the content is so different that it could fool a person into thinking they're two completely different things.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been kind of working with both of those things independently, kind of two major focuses of my practice is looking at how I am with those things, you know, the different kind of pieces of karma, especially with relationships, and then
Emma,
go ahead.
When you look at it, what do you see about the process? What are the similarities that you notice?
Mm-hmm. So the kind of what I am told is that there's a lot of things, but a big part of it is if I make the wrong decision, like if I do something that ends me up in the wrong place or with the wrong partner, then I'm going to have the wrong life.
I suspected something like that. Yeah. And so it really is. It's a process that conditioning uses in just about every content of a person's life, right? If I make the wrong decision about money, if I take the wrong job, if I choose the wrong person, if I buy the wrong house, if I make the wrong decision with health or medical stuff, or there's always a wrong decision I'm going to make, and then my life is going to be ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet everybody who's listening to this is nodding right now. That is how it does it to us.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I, it doesn't come as a surprise, but it's really cool to see that it's the same thing.
Yes, and that it is a process. And then we can take it beyond that, right? Because you actually have no experience of that being true.
Yeah. Of that being true, that I've made the wrong decision, and then...
And your life has been ruined.
My life has been ruined.
I mean,
right, my life,
You know, even if, you know, even if I, you know, I have a bad career experience, well, okay, and usually after enough time goes by, I can look back and say, yeah, and I learned this and this and this and this, and I realized that, and, you know, God, I'm so glad that I, you know, we talk about it in that way. Even things like health issues or, you know, bad relationships. We realize what we saw, what we learned, how we're different, how we're changed as a result of it, and how much more we bring to our lives today because of all of those things that came before. And yet when we stand in our lives today and look ahead, it's like, oh, God, I don't want to make a mistake. But really, the most significant things that happen to us are things that at the time conditioning was calling a mistake.
The other thing that I've finally noticed about this career, maybe going back to school thing, is conditioning seems to know what I'm going to like and what I'm not going to like, and what.
What doesn't it want you to believe that?
It
knows the future. So I was just talking with somebody about that recently, and encouraging this person to say, okay, all right, let's. This is very helpful. You know the future, and you know what's going to happen to me, and you know how I'm going to feel and what it's all going to mean. So let's get it down on paper, because I want to be able to. It's kind of like reading your astrology chart a month in advance. You know, you want to mark it all down so that you know. And of course, it doesn't want to do that. Those voices do not want to do that because they don't have any information and they don't know anything. All they know how to do is say stuff designed to scare you and make you feel bad. That's it.
Yes. Yes. That's true. One of the, with this content of going back to school or going to school, graduate school, one of the kind of path that I've been really looking at, I keep getting this message like, you're going to love being in school and you're going to hate the job you're going to get after with that.
Thank you for that prediction. All the time, it's going to do everything that it can to ruin your experience of being in school, as well as ruin your experience of whatever job you get.
That's actually a very good reminder. It is.
Because it's ruining this process as best it can. You know, it's trying to make this process miserable. Why would it quit with anything else that you're doing in your life?
It is. It is trying. I actually did the Zen awareness coaching for a few weeks about this process also, and that was really helpful.
Oh, good.
That was great.
So when we get the hang of that, to me, this is the next phase of it. You know, do you want to go to school?
Yeah, I really, really want to go to school.
Yeah, so that's a very good reason to go to school.
Yeah, that's what I get.
Then afterwards, you'll probably want a job. Yeah?
Yeah, I think I will.
And is there a right job? Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, I've been so... just loving practice so much for about the last 6 months, that I've been, I think I've been just participating much more in all kinds of different ways, and really want to do, like, whatever this career is, and I'm in the content a little of it, but really want it to be something that is kind of in, like, not just where I can practice on the side, but where practice is also part of that.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? If that's what you want, that's what you'll make happen.
All right. All right. I will.
You know, there are people in practice who work in all kinds of places that anybody, just about anybody listening to conditioning certainly would say are hellish situations. And they approach it as if it's the monastery or it's, you know, it's a retreat. They go into it with the idea that they are going to do their practice as best they can in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do I want the world to be? Well, that's what I'm going to work at being in this situation. And the difference, that's why I say it'll be however you want it to be. Because with that attitude of mind, now, again, I want to underline, I'm not saying you should get the worst job on the planet and make yourself stay in it to be a spiritual person. But what happens to so many people is they get the job of their dreams. And the voices of karmic conditioning turn it into something that they hate. So if we go, that's on one end of the continuum. We can go to the other end of the continuum, which is I'm going to approach this from the most spiritual place I can, and I'm going to use it as my monastery and my training ground, and I'm going to get everything I can out of this. I'm going to treat everybody I meet as the Buddha to the best of my ability. I'm going to guess that every situation I'm in is perfect for me. It's the exact place I need to be to see what I need to see and learn what I need to learn and get what I want to get. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then when there's an opening for another place to practice, I'm going to be open to taking it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with that attitude of mind, you just can't go wrong. And it's not with that attitude of mind that the voices are going to leave you alone because they're going to try to kill you, but we know that, right?
Yeah, that one, that's clear
right
now.
That's the constant.
Yeah. Huh? All right. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Stay in touch, huh? Get to hang out.
I will. Yep, I will.
All right, good.
All right. Thanks, Sherry and Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen in Pennsylvania, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay. When I was at the monastery this summer and I took on this practice of learning to be in charge of my attention, and it feels like what has happened since then is I've just seen a lot about how my attention goes to conditioning.
That is the first thing we see when we take on that project, isn't it?
Yeah, right. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that going on. And the thing is, how did I not notice that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's been pretty interesting.
Yeah. Sobering.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. Sobering is really the big one that I keep coming back to because I've had actually over and over these experiences of seeing, like, it's this place now of watching it where I think before I was just completely unconscious, like not even realizing, but now there's like watching it and yet still
yeah.
going with the conditioning
yeah.
and then getting into these situations where, you know, it is sobering. Like I see the way that it can try to ruin a life.
Yes. Yeah. That expression, going farther and faring worse.
Yes, that's been on my mind a lot.
Yeah, it kind of fits right there, doesn't it? Because,
uh-huh.
And maybe that's what people do mean by ignorance is bliss. You know, yeah, I'm in a world of hurt and I'm suffering all over the place, but I don't know how bad it is. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's okay. I'm muddling along here. And then I start to wake up and realize, oh, my God, I mean, this is way worse than I thought it was. and thank goodness we have a lot of support in practice, because that's the time that we gotta roll up those sleeves and get to it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yep, it's in the more clear moments, it is just a sense of, you know, wow, yep, definitely need to just stay with this commitment. Someone at the monastery actually suggested the Truman Show to me, and so I watched that just recently, and I really, you know, it was just so helpful, such a helpful practice movie, but I really was getting more of a sense of that. Yeah, of course, like I think I've been pretty snowed for a period of time as I've been attempting to do this practice, just in, wow, you know, why is everything feeling so bad? Because I just have been believing the voices that came up as soon as I had any interest in directing my attention. You know, they pulled out a lot of big gun kind of things or whatever we would say. But now it's becoming more clear again, well, of course, they're going to do, you know, I'm on that boat and they're blowing the wind and doing the lightning and everything else because that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, my job is just to hang on. It may not, you know, look pretty or whatever else, but just to hang on with this commitment, I guess.
Lash yourself to the mast.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
And look
yep.
for the rip in the fabric.
And yes, I love that part. I keep sort of having that sense now of like, where am I? Am I getting anywhere close to that bubble where I can, you know? Yeah.
And you know, Jen,
yeah.
the very fact that you can laugh and ask that question says that you are.
Well, yeah, that's.
You know, that it truly that you have enough distance on it that that it's that kind of oy. But you know that it's going on rather than you're being caught in it and believing it. That's just a huge difference.
Yeah, I'll definitely listen to this again to see that. But
it's kind of I keep getting this image of the person who has eaten junk food for a really
mm-hmm.
long time and now weighs 600 pounds
mm-hmm.
And suddenly wakes up to the fact that this is not a good life plan.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, kind of where we all are in terms of our relationship with the voices and karmic conditioning. And and it looks hopeless. You know, okay, now I realize what has happened to me, and it looks like it's so far back to a different experience that it wouldn't it just be easier to give up? And and then fortunately that's that little clue that says no, it wouldn't actually be better or easier or anything else. And then we start down the path. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes we're hopeful and we have courage and we have support and we have a sense that we can do it, and then we step into a hole and it feels just miserable and overwhelming again. But if we stay with it, those pounds will come off and we will develop a different way of eating and a different relationship with our bodies. And we'll learn about exercise. Pretty soon we'll be like Melinda out there walking 72 miles. And, you know, it takes time and it takes perseverance and courage and patience and all of those things. And if we just expect that we're going to experience everything in the process, and if we begin to get a glimmer that that's the whole point, is not for us to have the end result, but to go through all the steps along the way. Then what's going on with us is no longer seen as a problem or a mistake or anything else. It's right. It's how it needs to be. It's what I got to do. And I'm going to get all the benefits and rewards but I do have to take the steps.
Yeah, that's really helpful to hear, because a big thing that I just keep falling for is, you know, conditioning telling me how I must be doing it wrong. It's comparisons and all of that. You know, look at people who are really doing practice right. Look at what's going on for them compared to you. And, you know, I know comparison's not helpful, but it sucks me in. And, you know, there's somebody who goes for that. So,
well, now, you know the old, I think it's an AA thing. Don't compare your insides to somebody else's outsides.
That's really helpful,
really
too.
Yeah, that's really important for us to remember, because an awful lot of us can look like we have it together when we're walking around in the world. But that doesn't, you know, that's not a true indication of what's going on inside. I wish we could be more honest about what's going on inside. And around places like this, we can be, right?
Yeah.
But out in the world, you know, or when we're together, you know, we're all together on retreat. You know, everybody looks fine. And inside, we're all just practicing our little guts out. Because it's hard and it's painful and it's scary. And we have all those voices and they're yammering away at us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm just so grateful. You know, there's just so much support that, you know, I think it seems like it would be, I don't know, easy to give up, easy to just think that this is never going to, you know, but without the level of support, it just makes all the difference. So
good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Yeah. Well, stay close.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll tie myself on to everything.
Allow yourself to practice.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You've been listening to Open Air. Well, this was an over-the-top show, Sherry.
It was fun, wasn't it?
How do they just keep getting better and better? Right?
I know. I think it's Sangha, don't you? I think Sangha. That's what's going
on. It's amazing.
I like the image of lash yourself to practice. Isn't that good?
That's awesome.
On our little boats. And there we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fabulous.
All right. Next week?
Next week, same time.
It's a date.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.